Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Calvary.
Hey, 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 it's Monty. Welcome to the Rockcast.
I mean, it sucks.
You are about to listen to another episode of the world's favorite podcast.
You can't prove that.
Of course, on the last show, I had a major announcement concerning Galactic Cowboys, where I revealed that we are going to do a new CD. And when the news got out on Facebook, everybody just went crazy. And people like Steve Simi said, amazing, can't wait. Mick in Germany said, way cool, Monty, save a signed copy for me. Kyle in Illinois said, I just threw up with excitement.
Gross.
Andy Kelly said, no words can describe my level of stokedness. Angel in Houston said, hell yeah. Jim Boy Antonio said, best news of the year, tied with Kevin Durant signing with the Warriors.
Oh, yeah!
Chris Lewis said, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Tim Cruz said, I am just delirious with joy. Chris Ludke said, I don't want a new album, said no GC fan ever.
Humor! I love it!
Ben Jammin in Washington said, oh my god, this is awesome. W. Massa O. Milham said, oh hell yeah.
Hell yeah!
And Alfonso Martinez said, holy freaking shit. Well, so obviously everyone was really excited. Except for one guy. Upon hearing the news on Facebook, some guy named Frank Baker said, no, just no. They opened up for Dream Theater in Seattle on the Images and Words tour. God, just no. Well, hey, that's okay. I get it, Frank. Everybody isn't going to like Galactic Cowboys, and you're obviously a person with very selective taste.
He's a jerk!
And when you saw us open for Dream Theater back in the 90s, we just weren't your cup of tea. But you're entitled to your opinion.
Because you're such an a-hole.
I know we did make a lot of fans on that tour, including the guys in Dream Theater. They loved us. So, does it upset me that one guy named Frank Baker happened to hate us?
Yes.
No, it does not.
Screw that guy!
So, I say to each his own.
Another schmuck in a long list of schmucks.
But to all the Galactic Cowboy fans who do like us and are excited about a new CD, I say, well, thank you so much. We appreciate all the kind comments, and we can't wait to get started on it. I also can't wait to do the rest of this podcast. I've got a lot of cool stuff to talk to you about, so let's get it going. Let's continue on with some emails and top tens. It's always great to hear from you guys and get your feedback. And Jay Key wanted to let me know that he is loving the Rockcast. And he says, I listen to at least one full episode every night.
I cannot fathom doing that.
Well, that is awesome, Jay. And you know, if everybody did that, this world would be a better place to live in.
Right.
I also heard from Leland Anderson, who said, I really like the Total Breakdown segments, Monty. The Machine Fish Suite is absolutely badass. I always kind of wished it could have been released as an EP with that record, with more artwork. Really sweet breakdown, man. Thanks for the insight on that one. Well, no problem, Leland. Thanks for listening. And yeah, since there's like 7 songs in the Machine Fish Suite, there's a good chance I'll be doing more of those. As in very, very soon.
Oh, goody!
I also got some very kind words from Eric Rupp. And he said, Monty, you've had my support since the first time I heard Space in Your Face, and I did a what the F? Where did this come from? It's amazing. That was my initial reaction to Space in Your Face, and you've delivered great stuff ever since. Crunchy is great too. After the new GC album, which I am really excited about, I would love to hear another Crunchy album. Well, Eric, I guess we'll have to see. You know, I spent 4 years working on the last Crunchy album, Loserville, and the other day I decided to listen to it again just to see kind of how it hits me now. And I gotta say, I'm still really proud of that album. I know it didn't sell that well, and I don't think that many people have even heard it. But I don't really care, because it was a major accomplishment for me personally. I set a goal for myself to do a concept album, and that's what I did. I think the songs are really good, and at the least, I think when people hear Loserville, they're gonna go, you know, this guy worked his ass off making this CD.
Let's go to something else.
I got a message recently from Rockcast Hall of Famer Dana in Austin. And Dana says, I was going through the airport last week for a trip to California and back, and I thought of you. Since everybody has to take off their shoes to go through airport security, a lot of people choose footwear that is easy to take off and put back on. That's understandable, and I get it. Unfortunately, this also means an inordinate number of sandal and flip-flop wearing dudes exposing their nasty man feet.
Yeah.
My feet may not look any better, but at least I wear actual shoes. Just saying. Yeah, I gotta agree with you there, Dana. My stance on the man sandal has not changed. You will not catch me dead or alive in a pair of mandals, and if you're a dude, nobody wants to see your feet. That's why the good Lord created Converse Chuck Taylors.
That's a brilliant point, is it not?
However, it's a completely different situation with women. If females wear sandals or flip-flops, that is awesome. In fact, there's almost nothing better. Why? Because women's feet are beautiful. However, if you're a guy, please just say no to the mandal. I mean, if you want to wear them to the beach or in the privacy of your own home, I guess that's all right. Just don't be wearing them on the plane or to a bank. And if you're a musician, I better never see you wearing those on stage, or I will never listen to your band ever again. Frankly, there's nothing less metal.
The point of view being offered here is extremely interesting.
Now, speaking of metal, you remember that band Malaya Rage? Well, they're still around, and the other day I got an email from one of their guitar players, Jim Corey. And he said he'd been a Galactic fan since Space in Your Face. And here recently, Jim and his wife Michelle have both been binge listening to the Rockcast. And they apparently enjoy it so much that Jim has sent me his top 10 reasons why you should listen to Monty Colvin's Rockcast.
Just name one. There aren't any.
Well, all right. Let's check this list out that starts out at number 10. It beats watching him paint houses. Well, yeah, anything beats that because painting houses sucks ass.
Totally.
Number 9 is it's the best podcast in the history of mankind.
Simply not true.
Number 8 is your friends will be jealous of you. Well, sure, especially if while you're listening to the Rockcast, you're also wearing a Rockcast t-shirt. You'll be the envy of all your friends. Which coincidentally leads into number 7, you may be inclined to buy a CD or t-shirt.
Okay, yeah, we're going to do that.
The next reason to listen to the Rockcast is at number 6, it can be funny on occasion.
Funny?
Number 5 is, it's one less hour of fixing something around the house. Well, yeah, especially if you're like me and you can't fix anything around your house. I've got a toilet that still runs, and I've got a kitchen sink that only produces hot water.
That is pathetic.
The next reason on Jim's list to listen to Monty's Rockcast is, number 4, he's a patriotic American. Damn right I am. Number 3 is, his old man rants are usually justified.
How true it is.
That's right, and if you don't like it, you know what you can do.
Get off my lawn!
The number 2 reason is, he used to hang around with Ben, Dane, and Allen in Galactic Cowboys.
Who the hell is that?
And at number 1 on Jim's list of the top 10 reasons why you should listen to Monty's Rockcast, 'cause tonight's Seinfeld is a repeat. Well, that was a great list from Jim Corey from Malaya Rage. And like I said, they are still rocking it, and they put out a new CD in 2015. Let's check some of that out. Right on, melodic metal with killer heavy guitars.
Absolutely magnificent.
Thanks again to Jim for his top 10, and thanks to everyone for your emails.
Blind, blind, blind.
About 4 or 5 months ago, I found out that Rammstein was coming to the U.S. this summer, but they were only going to play one show. And it was going to be in Chicago at the first annual Chicago Open Air Festival. And when I heard the news, I freaked out. And I immediately went to my wife, Lindsay, and I said, "Listen, last year for our vacation, you made me go and stay in a log cabin and ride down a river in a canoe. And so I said, how about this year, instead of you planning the vacation, I plan it?" And she said, "Okay." And so I said, "Great, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to buy tickets to the Chicago Open Air Festival so we can go see Rammstein." And she said, "Well, that sounds fantastic, but what are we going to do with the kids?" And I said, "I have no idea, but I'm going to buy tickets." So that's what I did, and several months later, when it was time to drive to Chicago, I turned around and found the two kids were sitting in the back seat of the car. Yeah, so much for a romantic getaway with a wife. This had now turned into a family vacation, and even though there was no way in hell I was going to take them to a metal festival, the kids were along for the ride. And if you've ever had a 9-year-old boy, you can understand when I say I had almost lost my mind before we'd reached the outskirts of Kansas City. And about the 8th time he asked his mom, "Are we there yet?" I had to restrain myself from throwing a bag of corn nuts at him.
"Serenity now!"
Regardless of my frustration, nothing was going to keep me from getting to Rammstein. And the next day, on Friday, July 15th, Lindsay and I drove to Toyota Park in Chicago. And as it turns out, it's a stadium where they usually play professional soccer, which could mean only one thing. I had absolutely no reason to ever go to this place before.
Absolutely not.
But for a festival like this, it was awesome. The main stage was in the stadium part, and then there was a big side stage out in the parking lot. And I found it interesting when I looked at the lineup and where the bands would be playing that all the bands that do nothing but scream were on the second stage, and the bands on the main stage were either melodic or had melodic vocals as part of their songs. And so remember, kids, if you want to play on the main stage in the stadium, you might want to write some hooks.
And what the hell do you know, old man?
However, there were some cool heavy bands on the side stage. And the first one we saw was the Butcher Babies. And if you've never heard of them, they've got these two hot chicks that mainly scream, but they throw in plenty of cleavage for no extra charge.
Nice.
And so they were pretty cool, but after that, Lindsay and I headed into the stadium to catch Trivium, and they were quite good. And that was followed by some white rapper rock by Hollywood Undead. And you can hate me for saying this, but I still love Hollywood Undead. Lindsay and I got our groove on, they were hilarious, and once again, they are just a blast to see live.
I hate you.
We then made our way over to the second stage, but it started raining, so we hid under this canopy and watched Periphery. And I've got a couple of their albums, they're incredible musicians, but all that wacky, proggy, math metal kind of stuff just doesn't really do it for me. So we didn't last long there. We turned around and went back into the main stage where In This Moment was playing. And I saw them about 8 or 9 years ago at Warped Tour, and they were playing this little bitty stage, and they were pretty cool. Back then, they were just kind of a basic rock metal band, but since then, they've gotten bigger and bigger every year. And I think a lot of it just has to do with image. They've gotten more and more theatrical, and it seems like their singer is kind of trying to be a cross between Marilyn Manson and Madonna. And as I'm standing there, I don't know, it just kind of struck me as maybe a little cheesy, like she's trying a little too hard. But at the same time, it seems to be working for them, so I guess I can't knock success.
And he knows everything! Just ask him.
Later that afternoon, we caught a few songs from Hatebreed. And I like their singer, Jamie Josta. I love his podcast. And they actually played one of my favorite songs by them, Destroy Everything. Now, around 5:30, we decided to go back into the stadium and just find some good seats and stay there. The whole place was general admission, so we planted ourselves on the side and had a great view of everything. And as we were waiting for Of Mice and Men, we noticed there was a drunk guy that kept walking out of his shoes. Like, every step he'd try to take, his shoes would just come right off of him. And he was just having a really hard time trying to walk. But overall, the crowd was really cool. They were not obnoxious. And it just seemed like everyone was there to have a good time. And a good time indeed was had by all when Of Mice and Men took the stage. I love that band, and my only complaint is that I wish they could have played a little longer. They've got tremendous energy live, and they just come off like likable guys. At 6:30 on the main stage, I got to see Ministry. And oh my God, they were awesome. Al Jorgensen looks like an old man with a bunch of metal in his face. And he's got all these piercings in his eyebrows and in his nose. And the dude's just a freak. And the band was crushing it, and they played all the good stuff. Stigmata, New World Order, and Just One Fix. Now, after Ministry, we were starting to get hungry, and so I went out on my own searching for food. And I made my way over by the second stage, and while I was waiting in line for some cheese fries, I got to see some of Meshuggah. And I've got to be honest, I've never listened to a lot of Meshuggah, and I'm not a big fan of their music. But after seeing them play a couple songs live, I gotta tell ya, I am definitely not a fan. Oh. I mean, they're heavy as crap, and I'm sure they're really talented. But no melody whatsoever makes Monty a dull boy, or at least a bored one. And so I actually ended up passing on the cheese fries and just went back to the stadium for some pizza. And while I was waiting in line for that, you're not going to believe this, but trust me, I did not make this up.
The following story is remarkable.
Now, if you've heard this podcast before, you know that every time I go to a concert, invariably, some guy will just come out of nowhere and start talking to me. They're usually drunk or high, and apparently I just look like a very approachable person. And it's also becoming clear to me that I apparently look like a druggie.
Yeah, you do.
In fact, I don't even have to be at a concert. I can just walk down the street. And on many occasions, I've just had guys walk up and say, "Hey, dude, you smoke? Got any green?" And I'm always like, "No, no, I don't. Sorry." But it hadn't happened yet at the Chicago Fest, and there I was, standing in line for pizza. When all of a sudden I hear these two guys standing behind me talking to each other, and one guy says to the other, "Hey man, you smoke pot?" And the other guy says, "Yeah dude, I smoke all the time. I just don't have any on me now." And I don't really think much of it because I'm just waiting for food. And I swear I had never seen these guys in my life. But one of them actually tapped me on the shoulder, and when I turned around, he looked at me and said, "Hey dude, you sell pot?" And I just looked at him and laughed and said, "Why do you think I would be selling pot? Do I look like a guy who sells drugs? Because I gotta be honest, I get this at every single concert I go to." And he just looks at me and laughs and said, "I don't know, man. You just look like you'd be the type. Maybe it's those big pockets you got on your shorts." And I thought, well, you know, I do have big pockets. And so my perfect streak continues.
All right.
And I finally got my pizza and went back to my seat where I found Lindsay, and it was just starting to get dark. And believe it or not, it was actually starting to get a little chilly. I mean, it was like in the 60s at that point. And I was really just ready for Rammstein to come on, but we still had one more band to sit through. And of all the bands that they could have had go on before the headliner, we got to see Chevelle. And I'm sorry if there's any big Chevelle fans out there that I'm going to offend right now, but I just have never gotten it. But apparently they're really big and really popular for some reason, but I just don't see it. Their image is kind of boring, they just look like regular dudes. And their singer sings the same melody for like every song. All their riffs sound the same to me, and every song sounds the same.
You're mean.
But there they were on the main stage with the full light show and all that. But I was just bored for the entire hour that they played.
So did you like it or not?
But when Chevelle finally left the stage, I knew the time had finally come for me to see Rammstein. And this was the most excited I could ever remember being for a concert since maybe high school. I mean, I was like a giddy little teenager. And when the show started, it literally started with a bang, as in fireworks. And if you know anything about Rammstein, you know their stage show is incredible. All kinds of explosions and fire galore. They'd be wearing these gas masks that shot fire out of their faces as they were playing, and every single song had something special going on with it. Whether it was pyro or costumes or lighting or whatever, those guys had it down. And of course, their music was just played to perfection, and I love that stuff. So heavy, the guitars were just crushing my skull. So I'm just standing there with this continuous smile on my face, and I turn to Lindsay after about the fourth song and I say, "This has already been the best concert I've ever seen." And it continued that way through the whole show. And when we left there that night, I said, without a doubt, that is the best concert I have ever seen in my life. And I have seen a ton of shows. I've seen The Who, The Stones, I've seen Kansas and Rush back in the day, AC/DC, Ted Nugent, and Rainbow with Ronnie James Dio. I've seen Metallica, Black Sabbath, and yes, I even saw Kiss in full makeup. And none of it was as good as Rammstein.
Brutal!
So Rammstein gets a full 5 out of 5 bloody metal skulls.
You're smoking the pot, aren't you?
Here lately, you guys have just bombarded me with questions, and so I have no choice except to answer them on a little segment that I like to call
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty. Did you have a question? Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Ask Monty.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask Monty.
That's right, and why do I call it Ask Monty? Well, because it sounds better than Ask Me. And the first question today comes from Dan the Man Cunningham. And Dan says, hey Monty, I was just watching a documentary on Brian Wilson called Love and Mercy. I thought the movie was pretty decent, and it did a good job of showing what kind of genius he was. And then it hit me. You've never talked about the Beach Boys on the Rockcast. What do you think of them? Yeah, Dan, you know, now that you mention it, I don't think I ever have talked about the Beach Boys. I mean, I do like them, but I think the only thing I ever bought of theirs was Pet Sounds. That album was brilliant and had some really cool production. You gotta love the Beach Boys' vocal harmonies. And somebody years ago sent me a CD of the Pet Sounds album A Cappella. It was just the vocals with all the music taken out, and check this out.
Happy times together we've been spending. I wish that every kiss was never ending. Oh, wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah, you like that? All right. Well, here's a little more. I think I just had an eargasm.
Oh, that was good.
So yeah, Dan Cunningham, Beach Boys, very cool.
It's just wonderful stuff.
Now, with a strangely coincidental question, Ed Whelan on Facebook asked me if I had any love for Jan and Dean. That's a good question, Ed. I've always liked Jan, but I'm not so crazy about Dean.
Seriously?
Nah, I'm just kidding. The truth is, I've never really listened to them that much, never had any of their albums, but what I've heard, I've liked. I recall watching a movie about Jan and Dean, but it was kind of sad, as are most movies and documentaries about musicians. Speaking of which, I saw a great documentary on Netflix the other day about Jocko, the amazing bass player jazz guy. And believe it or not, before I saw this flick, I knew very little to nothing about Jocko. I mean, I had always heard that he was one of the greatest bass players ever, but I'm not really into jazz. So when I started watching it, I thought, well, I may learn something about him, but it may be a little boring. But no, it was really good, kept my attention all the way through, and oh my God, was that guy incredible, just a bass freak. But of course, he was a musician, and all musicians have to eventually get addicted to drugs. Well, except me, but most of them do, and he was no exception. So naturally, it all ended badly. But a great documentary called Jocko. And if you've got Netflix, you might want to check that out.
No thanks.
Now, getting back to your questions, I got an interesting one from Kevin in New York. He said that he loves the crunchy video that I've had on YouTube for years for the song Aftertaste. And he knows it's probably impossible, but could I do a Monty's video breakdown for that song? Well, yeah, that would be impossible, Kevin. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can give you a little background information on that video.
Isn't that all just too much trouble?
Now, I know this is going to be hard for everyone to believe, but I directed and edited that video myself.
No.
Yeah, I know. You're probably saying, Monty, how could you ever do anything that high tech? Well, I did, with a camcorder and MacBook Pro.
That is pretty darn amazing.
And I shot the whole thing at my house that I was living in at the time, in the backyard and in my man cave.
This is remarkably expensive.
And the guys you see in the video were my band at the time, and we just kind of goofed around and had fun.
Very impressive.
And something else that you'll probably find shocking is that the actor who played the clown in the video was actually played by me.
I say no, there's no way.
Yes, I know. Hard to believe. But that was me playing the disillusioned, depressed clown.
Get out of town!
I know most people might think that was quite a stretch, but thinking back to that time, it was actually pretty easy for me to conjure up the spirit of depression.
A completely miserable human being.
But anyway, if you want to see the video that Kevin is talking about, go to YouTube and look up Crunchy Aftertaste. It's up to over 5,000 views now, which sounds pretty good, until you realize there's a video of a couple of hamsters running around on a wheel that has over 7 million.
Don't!
Kevin in New York also had a couple more questions. Seems he's been listening to some older episodes and wonders if I'm still hooked on Kesha. He said he remembers how I would always somehow work in the song TikTok to almost every show. Well, Kevin, yeah, I still do like Kesha, and I still like that song.
Why?
And one reason is because it brings back really good memories for me. You see, when Lindsay and I first started dating, I had to drive 2 hours to see her. And I listened to my iPod all the way there, but when I got within about 5 or 10 minutes of her house, I'd pop in the Kesha. And it just always got me in a really good mood because I knew I didn't have long before I'd be seeing my girl. And so now, every time I hear that song, I just think back to a really great time in my life.
Don't stop, make it pop, DJ blow my speakers up. Tonight, I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop, no.
Aw, yeah, you gotta love Kesha.
No, you don't!
Kevin's other question about the older episodes was, he wonders why I no longer threaten the audience with Beyonce anymore. Yeah, on some of those earlier shows, I asked people to send me MP3s of them reading their top 10 lists. And, of course, very few people did. And so I finally said, listen, if you don't start sending me MP3s, I'm going to either start playing Loverboy or Beyonce. And I never really wanted to resort to that again, but listen, I told you a couple shows back that if you wanted to send me an MP3 with you talking about the show or asking me questions or giving me a concert review, if I liked it, I would play it. But as of yet, not one person has sent me an MP3. And I know there's got to be at least a few of you guys out there who have either a phone or a computer that allows you to record your voice. So I'm sorry, but you've left me no choice, and consider this your final warning. If I don't start getting some MP3s, you people are going to get this as a form of punishment.
Stop it!
This almost seems cruel.
Yeah, I really did not want to do this to you, but you've forced my hand. So if you know what's good for you, get to sending me some MP3s.
That is clearly a threat.
Time now for me to have a total breakdown. And unlike the kind that I usually have, today I think I'll just break down a song by Galactic Cowboys. This is a song from the Machine Fish Suite, and it starts out with some nasty bass guitar. The name of the song was Never Understand. This was on the At the End of the Day CD, and I used my Zon 4 string for most of that album. We recorded this in Houston, but I was actually living in Missouri by this point, and so I would fly back and forth when we were in the studio or we were working on songs or doing a show. And this is one of the 7 or 8 songs that I brought in for this album, and it's one of my favorites. It's about being disillusioned and discouraged and feeling like you've just been used.
Run through machines, now I know what it all means. Chewed up by a corporate scheme, spit out by
I love the crushing riffs on this song, but I also love the moodiness. I got to sing lead vocal on this tune, but obviously Ben's vocal harmonies made it awesome. And of course, Ben always has a unique way of adding something from out of left field. And there's a part in the middle where Ben sings, "Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I don't want no candy." And I'm sure if you're familiar with the song, you've always wondered what that meant. Well, I'm here to reveal now that the truth behind that is that it was taken from an Adam Sandler skit on Saturday Night Live. So there you have it, a little behind-the-scenes tidbits for another Galactic Cowboy classic. It's probably more information than you ever needed to know on another installment of Monty's Total Breakdown. And that is going to do it, my friends, for another episode of the Rockcast.
It was just one of the greatest pleasures of my life.
If you want to get a hold of me to send me an email, an MP3, or a top 10, you can do so at MontyColvin.net or on Facebook. Most people, especially if you're a pothead, find me very approachable.
Right.
In fact, I think most people would say I'm a fairly nice guy.
You're sure about that?
Well, unless you ask my kids, in which they would probably say that I'm a total asshole.
Well, yeah.
But if you're not one of my kids, then feel free to drop me a line. There's a good chance that I'll even reply.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
I'm going to end this show with a song off the brand new Billy Talent CD. I played you all kinds of music today, everything from old classics to metal to techno. But now it's time for some pop punk. And Billy Talent is a band from Canada. I've loved them for years. And I can honestly say they've kind of got their own sound. And they've got really good songs, and this new CD is really good. So check it out and see what you think. But that's going to do it for me for now. I'll be back soon with more fun and excitement. But until then, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me. And
rock on. This has been Monty's Rockcast.
It's over!